Okay, before we get started, last week I introduced a series on praise. Y'all remember that sermon from last week? Last week's sermon was unconditional praise. Unconditional praise. And I'm going to ask Steve to put the model back up, because as we go through these sermons, we're going to continue to go back to the epicenter of praise. And again, my goal is not to change your definition of praise, but to add to your perspective of it, okay? To add more information to it. And if you have something to write with, you might want to take notes today, because we're going to talk about the anatomy of praise. When we look at praise, we know it's shouting, we know it's giving God the glory, worshiping God, raising up holy hands, and you know, all the emotional things that come with it. But there's an anatomy that makes that praise up. There's something that leads you to that point. And when you look at praise, God gave me this acronym. Pain is made out of pain. It is made from regrets, abandonment. Sometimes we feel isolated. Sometimes we experience setbacks. Has anyone in the house today has ever experienced setbacks in your life? You know, you're going 5 steps and you get knocked back 50 steps. And sometimes you get tired of getting up. You get tired of trying over. You get tired of starting over. But God gives you the strength like the wings of an eagle. And you give him praise for that. And then last but not least, the E is for expectation. Have you ever expected anything from God? Have you ever expected God to come through for you? Have you ever expected him to answer some prayer? Because you're being pressed on every side. Praise. Praise. You know, I was talking with my wife, and she was telling me about the Black History play, and she said, "Lamont, make sure that whatever you preach, that it goes with what we're going to do. Make sure it lines up with it." I said, "Okay." I just don't, stuff don't just fall out the sky. And, you know, I was so locked in on praise, right? Because, you know, I was just hooked in on my series. I said, "Man, I'm going to have to take a break in my series. And then, you know, I don't know the next time I'll be up. Then I got to make sure I remember what I preach." And this was yesterday. I couldn't figure out nothing all week. I was playing around with different things to kind of line it up with the, because I didn't want to take away from what the hard work that my wife put in. I wanted to just put the icing on the cake, but you know, I didn't want to disrespect her by preaching on something that didn't even line up with what they worked so hard, the drama ministry worked so hard. So I was like, "Lord, give me something, but allow it to still be dealing with praise." And I lied to y'all not, at 4 o'clock yesterday, God gave me this sermon. And it goes with my praise series. So I'm very happy about it. The title of today's sermon is Transitional Praise. Transitional Praise. We're going to come from Exodus chapter 15. And I said, isn't it ironic that the scripture, I mean, I was opening my Bible, went right to Exodus 15. And I started reading it. I said, "Wow, this goes right with, this lines up with what my wife and them have put together." And I said, "Man," and it connects to praise. And in Exodus 15, we're going to see why we need to praise God. You know, David had to praise God regardless of the condition he was in. He was running from Saul. Saul was trying to kill him every day. He was in constant panic. Didn't have good sleep at night. Didn't know where to trust. His praise had to be unconditional. And I want to tell us that if you're waiting for your conditions to be perfect, you're not going to ever have a time to praise God. But when we look at the scriptures here, we see transitional praise. In our lives, we go from point A to point Z. But in between point A and point Z, you got 24 other alphabets you must cross. But when you're transitioning, when you're shifting in your life, you ought to praise God for the transition. Joseph was transitioned from a slave to an emperor. You know, and when I think about the transitions of our lives, many of us, when we look back over the memories of our lives, we can look at where God had us and where we are right now. And it was God the entire time that was instrumental in transitioning us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Transitional praise. You know, through life, you're going to make many transitions. I can remember when I was a teenager. I can remember how much speed I had and how strong I was. And I remember how high I can jump. And now I'm happy to just be able to run up some stairs and not be out of breath. I'm starting to feel some aches in places I didn't know I had places to ache. Because I'm going through a transition. And when you go through a transition, you can't go through a transition without some type of pain. You can't go through a transition without some type of setback. And you can't go through a transition without some sort of expectation. You ask a parent who is 9 months pregnant and she's about to bring a life into this world. She goes through 9 months, 3 or 4 trimesters of transition. Because she's preparing to deliver a newborn baby into this world. Is anybody with me today? Before we get into our main text, I'm going to look at Exodus chapter 12, verse 40. Exodus chapter 12, verse 40. You know, when you look at chattel slavery in America, we have been slaves for approximately 280 years in America. But when I look at Exodus chapter 12, verse 40, and it reads, it says, "Now the time that the sons of Israel lived in Egypt was what? 430 years. So it's amazing how we won't listen to a person unless they've been through what we've been through. You know, it's amazing how, you know, we have more respect for people that have, quote unquote, credibility. You know, that's what they say in the streets. Hey, how can you tell me how to live my life if you've never been in the streets? I need somebody from the streets to tell me what I need to do right from wrong, and then I might halfway listen. And see, we as a people, we have been enslaved for almost 300 years, but God says I can top that. Because my Israelites were slaves in Egypt for 430 years. So the 281 years of chattel slavery that you have in America, I can trump that by another 100 and plus years. So now, are you ready to listen to the God of the Bible? Transitional praise. By this time, you should have Exodus 15. Exodus 15. And trust me, you're going to want to write this stuff down today. You have your pens and pencils out. Some of you are saying, I didn't come to church to go to school. But life is like a classroom. And in the classroom of life, you can't skip its class. You can't play hooky. You can't be late. It shows up. And when it shows up, you better make sure that you have done your homework. And if you have not done your homework when the pop quiz comes up called crisis, then you may fail the test. Oh, y'all not walking with me today? I need someone in here that's going to praise God when you're going through a transition in your life. I need someone to praise God when you know that you were a slave to sin and God has brought you out of 400 plus years of slavery. I need someone that's going to praise God when your mind had you enslaved, but God broke the chains of your mind. He broke the chains of addiction. He broke the chains of evil thinking. He broke the chains of foolery in your life. I need someone who has been enslaved to say, God be praised. God is constantly transitioning us from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from level to level. Stephen was being stoned. And the Bible declares that Saul, who we know as Paul, was holding his coat. So, oh my gosh, we see two transitions in one event. Here you have Stephen, a man of God, being stoned to death by the Jewish leaders of that time. And the Bible says that as he's getting stoned and blood is rushing out of his head and his skull is being cracked open by the stones, he looks up because he was transitioning. He was transitioning from this life to the next life. And the Bible says he saw the Son of God standing, watching him, giving him a standing ovation. But there was also another transition going on at the same time. See, there was a Pharisee of the Pharisees who was taught that sat at the feet of Gamaliel that was realizing that he had zeal, but not according to knowledge. He had zeal for the law. He had zeal for God, but he didn't know God in a personal relationship. His name was Saul of Tarshish. And Saul of Tarshish was a Benjamite. He was born, circumcised on the 15th day. So he was holding Stephen's cloak, thinking he was doing God's work, but he was really transitioning. Because after Stephen, when he was getting stoned, said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See, you have to be a man of praise to forgive the very people that's stoning you to death. You have to be a man of praise to forgive people that's causing you to bleed. You have to be a man of praise to forgive people. But see, Stephen saw where he was already going. The question is, do you see where you're headed? When you see where you're headed, you won't become shackled to where you are. Y'all didn't hear that? Y'all don't hear that? Let me say that again. When you know where you're going, when you see where you're headed, when you know what's been stored up for you, when you know what's been laid up for you by none other than Jesus Christ and him crucified, when you know that there are crowns laid up for you, there's a gold streets waiting for you to walk on, then when you get arrested by the problems of this earthly life, it will not imprison you to your pain. You will become emancipated by the understanding of your eternal fortitude and your eternal resting place. And we know, just like Stephen knew, I know where I'm going. You can curse me, you can scandalize my name, but I'm going to continue to praise God. I'm going to continue to give him the glory, even though I'm hurting right now, even though you're cursing me out, even though you're talking about my family, I'm going to continue to praise God in spite of, because he's taking me through a transition. God knew. It was the testimony of Stephen that would be instrumental in transitioning Saul of Tarshish into the Apostle Paul. But it wasn't until Acts, when Saul of Tarshish was on his way, on his high horse, to go kill some more Christians who was following the way, that he met Jesus Christ face to face. And the Bible declares that he was knocked off of his high horse. And he said, Saul, Saul, why doest thou persecuteth me? Saul looked up and said, Lord, who's persecuting you? Who are you? He said, I'm Jesus, Son of the living God. How long will you kick against the prick? The Bible said God put scales over his eyes. where he couldn't see for several days until he was led to Aquila and his wife. And the Bible said the scales fell off. See, some of the people that's throwing stones at you now, it's because they have scales over their eyes. Oh, y'all not walking with me. See, some of the people that's causing us problems, they really can't see us clearly for who we are. They are blind by their sin. And blindness has the effect of taking over your life and taking over your speech and causing you to say some things outside of your head because you're blind. We got to get into the word. I'm sorry, saints. I apologize. I apologize for praising God. I apologize for that. I apologize for being excited. Are y'all ready for the word today? Exodus chapter 15. The first sermon point is, it was by God's ability that we made it out. It was by God's ability that we made it out. Verse 1 through 5 reads, then Moses and the sons of Israel sang a song to the Lord and said, I will. Let the church say, I will. Oh, he didn't say, I might. He didn't say, I should. He didn't say, I think about it. He said, I will. Now, will has the idea of making a conscious, volitionary decision. This is going to get done whether I like it or not. Oh, y'all not walking with me. He says, I will sing unto the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. Oh, this is good. This is good. Let's look at verse 2. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation or deliverance, that this is my God, and I will what? There's that transitional praise. So you got to understand, before we get to chapter 15, just to give you some background, they had been left Egypt. In chapter 13, they left Egypt. They're traveling through the wilderness. And they have Pharaoh's army behind them and the Red Sea before them. So it's like you go out of one situation into another. Isn't that how life is? If it's not one thing, it's another. You're either going into a trial, in a trial, or coming out of a trial. That is the narrative of life. But isn't it a blessing to know that although that's the narrative of life, that is not the narrator of life. The narrator or the speaker of life is God himself. And I'm not going to focus on the narrative of life. I'm going to focus on the narrator of life. Is anybody with me? He says here, as soon as these people get out of slavery, 430 years, they have gold and silver and food and cattle. Everything is going well until the Red Sea is in front of them and Pharaoh's army decides to chase them down. As soon as things get hot, they turn on Moses. Have you brought us out here to die? It's better for us to have lived in Egypt as slaves than to be like corpses in the wilderness. I want to encourage us. When God is bringing you out of something, you will face a Red Sea as soon as you come out. A Red Sea could be any immovable barrier that you feel that you cannot get over. There are some toxic relationships that God is going to bring you out of if you trust them. There are some toxic friendships that God is saying, you need to let these people go. And you get out of that friendship, and then it seems like you get out of that friendship, and then you jump into a pool of depression. Let me tell you something. God will get you through your Red Sea, but you have to trust him. All he wants you to do is keep walking away. When you get detached from something that has kept you enslaved, don't turn back. When you have been freed from the bondage or whatever it is, a person, place, or thing, do not look back, do not go back, keep walking forward. And do not get concerned about the depths of the waters of the unknown. When you know God is the creator of the water, when you know God is above the water's depths, then you can trust him. If I can't get over the water, he's going to get me around the water. If I can't get around the water, he's going to take me through the water. If he can't take me through the water, I'm going to just float on the water. But I know I'm getting past this water. Is anybody with me today? He says, the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. And the choicest of his officers are drowned in the Red Sea. Now, I don't want to skip over that. When the devil sends someone after you, he's not going to get the scrub to come after you. He's going to get the number one draft pick to come after you. He's going to get the one that is the elite of the elite to come after you. You see, if you're trying to break the addiction of drugs, he's not going to send a low-level drug after you. He's going to send heroin or methamphetamine, something that you take one hit of it, you locked in. See, he's coming after your head. And Pharaoh was coming after the heads of the Israelites because he understood that he had allowed his quote-unquote property to get away. With money, with blessings, and all these things, he came to his senses and said, look, we just let over 2 million people go that was working for us for free. We got to get them back. But God, listen to this. They're praising God. Verse 5 says, the deep cover them. They went down into the depths like a stone. See, it wasn't because they were so good. It was because God was so able. Oh, y'all not walking with me on this. See, there's some things that you're drowning in right now. And God can take what's going to drown your enemies and cause you to walk on dry ground. Because the Bible says that the sea separated and God took a strong wind and blew on the bottom of the seabed till it was dry ground. Now, we know it had to have been dry because mud causes you to sink. If the ground was not completely dry, see, I'm not going to take away from the miracle of God. I'm going to show you the miracle in this. First of all, if a seabed is at the bottom of the sea, that's a lot of saturation of water, isn't it? So how in the world can you dry out a swath of land that's been under the sea for thousands upon thousands upon thousands of years and make it dry instantly? Only God can do that. See, there are some things that people, God's going to do for you. People going to look at you and say, how did that happen? As if it was overnight. When you serve God, see, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day when it comes to God. His thoughts are well beyond our thoughts. His ways are well beyond our ways. You cannot fully figure God out. See, when you are the creator of all things, including time, you don't need time to get you out in the nick of time. See, when God pulls you out of a Red Sea situation, he don't need to wait for the sun to rise up and dry it out. All he has to do is speak it into existence because he say, Red Sea, separate. As you separate, let my people through. As you let my people through, earth, be strong enough, be dry enough, be hard enough to withstand the weight of all those mules and those donkeys and those horses and those cattle. Don't let anybody slip or get stuck in the mud. You're going to dry up. But once the last person of my people get out of this Red Sea, I want you to do what you naturally do. I want you to become muddy. I want you to become like quicksand. I want you to be water. Soon as they get in the middle of the sea, you do what I commanded you to do. That is the God that you serve. When you know God and you know his abilities, it'll give you the enablement to deal with things that naturally you couldn't deal with. Because it is by his ability that he brings us out. Let's look at our second point. It was by God's mighty power that we made it through. See, the first point was we made it out, but it's by his power that we make it through. See, sometimes God is not going to just snatch you out of a situation. Sometimes he's going to allow us to go through it. And oftentimes it's a slow, grinding process. But when you know God and he's with you, he will get you through it. Let's look at verse 6 through 8. It says, your right hand, O Lord, is majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. And in the greatness of your excellence, you overthrow those who rise up against you. You send forth your burning anger, and it consumes them as chaff. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters were piled up. Let me tell us something about God's power. God's power is so strong. There's not a word in the dictionary that can describe how powerful God is. If we had 10,000 tongues, you wouldn't be able to describe how powerful God is. See, I don't understand how a man can walk on water. I don't understand how a man can raise the dead. But God is the only one that can do that. I don't understand how the blind can be made to see or the lame be made to walk. But God is able to do that because his strong right hand is powerful in our lives. And see, sometimes we need the right hand of God to interfere in our situation and crush those who are trying to crush us. See, Pharaoh was trying to crush and capture the Israelites, but it was the hand of God that trumped Pharaoh's intentions, and the very thing that he wanted to crush, he ended up getting crushed. When you walk with the Lord, you always have an invisible army behind you. Let me say that again. There is always an army of angels that are ready to defend the saint of God. That's God's power. Third point, it was by God's authority over our enemies that we made it over. See, it was by his ability, saints, that we made it out. It was by his mighty hand that we made it through. But now it's by his authority, Sister June, that you're going to make it over. Let's look at 9 and 10. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be gratified against them. I will draw out my sword. My hand will destroy them. Then they say, you blew with your wind, and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. See, let me tell us something. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. But people leave this part out. Nobody talks about how it forms. It doesn't mean the weapon won't form. It doesn't mean the weapon won't stab us. It doesn't mean we won't bleed from the weapon that just stabbed us. But it means that we won't be killed by it. It doesn't mean trouble won't come to your house. It doesn't mean trouble won't come to your job. It doesn't mean trouble won't come to your finances, but you won't be drowned by it. And it is by the authority of God over our enemies, whether you like it or not, whether you want to admit to it or not, you have enemies. And I'm not talking about the devil or demons. I'm talking about people. You're going to have enemies on your job. You're going to have enemies in your family. You're going to have enemies at the gas station. Anywhere you walk, and because of the sin principle, we are going to have some type of enemies. But the Bible says here that these enemies have intentions. Pharaoh said, I will destroy them by my sword. He said, I will crush them. He said, my desires will be gratified. See, there are people that are already counting you out. They've already counted you as a non-factor. But when you have God, you have to be factored into the equation. Oh, y'all not getting this. There are people who have already written you off. Oh, they're nothing. Who cares about them? Who cares about that person? But don't worry about how they care about you or not care about you. You focus on God's relationship with you. And God says, although they have counted you out, as long as you count on me, I'm going to make sure that you're not counted out. God has the authority. God has the final say-so. And we can rest in that. And when we look at his authority, we can make it over. You're going to get through whatever you're going through. I promise you that. Let me say that again. Exodus 15 is a promise to God's people. When you trust God, even when everything is going left, he will get you over. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I know he will. Is that helping somebody today? Fourth point, it was by God's attributes that we made it by. See, have you ever just needed to get by? You didn't need to get out. You didn't need to get through. You didn't even need to get over. I just need to get by. I just need to make it to the 15th. That's when my paycheck hit. I'm not asking y'all to, catch this, I'm not asking y'all to wipe my debt out. I'm just asking you to let me get to the 15th. Oh, don't act like you've never been there before. But even in getting by, that's still God. God is not always going to give you abundance. Sometimes he will sustain you. And see, we look at the word sustain. Sustain has the idea of getting your next breath. Not having an oxygen tank where you got plenty of oxygen coming in. No, but Lord, let me get the next breath. Let me see another day. Let me see God, church, one more time. Sometimes we're in a crisis in our lives where we serve a one more time God. If you give me one more time, if you give me one more opportunity, if you give me one more song, if you give me one more praise. See, sometimes we're in a season in our lives where we're dealing with the one more time God. And those one more times add up. Then you look back over the precipice of your years and say, it was God who got me by and by. He got me out, he got me over, he got me through, but he got me by. Those slaves, Harriet Tubman, risked her life every time. She was wanted, America's most wanted, literally. Having to even sacrifice any slave that would tell on the other slaves. Having to cross mountains at the nighttime. Wolves and bears in the forest. Walk through swamps of the south. Fire ants and sand fleas and couldn't make a noise. That was a strong woman. That was a strong woman. Her nickname was Black Moses. Y'all not walking with me. But see, it was the Holy Spirit. It was God's ability that used Harriet Tubman to walk through briar bushes of the South, to cross the Appalachian Mountains, to go through swamps, having to pull leeches off of her leg, couldn't get tired, didn't have time to get tired, had to travel at night by lantern. They didn't have electricity back then. Having to look at trees that she probably had to mark off so she wouldn't get lost in the dense forest. But it was God that followed her. It was God that led her. It was God that empowered her. And the same God that took Black Moses, a.k.a. Harriet Tubman, is the same God that's in you and I. It's the same God that can lead us to freedom. It's the same God that can cause you to be emancipated from your private slavery. It's the same God that when people say all kinds of things about you, you can still have a smile on your face because he's transitioning you from slave to saint. Transitional praise. He's taking us through transitions. He's shifting things in our lives for us to praise him anyhow. See, sometimes I'm not going to get a check in the mail. Sometimes they give me an extra day for my lights to stay on. And I'm going to still praise God for the extra day that Vapco gave me. I'm still going to praise God for the extra day that Virginia Natural Gas gave me. I'm going to praise God even though I'm driving on 4 spare tires. I got a tire. I'm getting by. No, I'm not happy where I'm at, but I still got transportation. I don't have to call an Uber, but if I have to call an Uber, that's God too. If I got to get on the bus, that's God too. If I got to ride a bike, that's God too, because he'll get me through, he'll get me over, he'll get me by. Praise him. Give God some praise. Has God ever gotten you by? You better praise him. Praise him. Yes. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. When you praise God, he transitions you. Keep on praising him. Keep on praising him. Keep on praising him. Yes. Yes, Lord. Give him praise. Only God know what he got you out of. Only God know what he got you through. And it's the same God that got you over some things. And it's because of his attributes that you're getting by. And this is the sweetest part of the deal. Let me finish this point because I want to do it justice. We're still on the attributes of God. He's getting us by. You might be depressed. And there may not be enough pills in your antidepressant to keep the depression at bay. But it's not about the pills. It's not about the Prozac. It has its place. But it's not about that. See, sometimes I have to drag my burdens to the house of God. Yeah, the depression is still there. I still have these thoughts, but the thoughts don't have me. And I'm a drag what's dragging me to God because it's by his attributes. His attributes is getting me by. Is anybody walking with me today? Verse 13 says, your loving kindness. Have you ever been loved by God? Oh, no, I ain't talking about just waking up in the morning. Have you ever been loved by God? God has forgiven you for some stuff that you take into your grave. And you and God know. That's love, y'all. That's his loving kindness, his compassion. Y'all praying for me out there? And your loving kindness, you have led people whom you have bought back, or you have redeemed or freed. In your strength, you have guided them to your holy habitation. We have no right to brag about our own abilities. In all that you do, give glory to God. If God has given you a gift, that gift is leased out to you. It's not yours. You just manage it. If God has given you a talent, it's not yours. You just manage it. But people can't see God. They see you. So they're going to naturally say, you have a gift. Because they can only go off of what they see. When they see your talents, they don't see God, they see you. So you have to tell them. You have to tell them that it's not by my hands. It's not by my mind. It's not even by my heart. All glory goes to God. And when you do that enough, the people that praise you will start praising the one who gave you the gift. And they'll start saying, who is this God that gave you these gifts? And that is a doorway for you to give them the gospel. Give them an opportunity to meet Jesus Christ. Because it was by his mighty hand. It was by his power. It was by his authority that we are who we are. We have what we have. That loan you got wasn't because your credit was all that. Hope I'm not stepping on anybody's toes. I'm stepping on my own toes. That beautiful spouse you have, not because you're so handsome. See, I switched it up. Those two or three cars in your driveway, it's not because you deserve them. You know better than the person that gets on TRT. Oh, we got to talk about that. I think we get too high off the hog. I don't think I used that correctly, but sounds good. Sounds good. What makes you better? You lease a car every 3 years. What makes you better than the person that you see always waiting at the bus stop? Having to get a bus ticket. You driving in luxury and leather seats, massaging seats. Now, God has given us all good things to enjoy, so don't misinterpret what I'm saying. I would like everybody to have a 2020 if they could. But if you find yourself forgetting, I just want to remind you, it's not because you're so good that you have two or three cars and inspections are up to date. I think I'm telling too much on myself. Your tags are up to date. You may have to go to work with some expired tags. And you pray that, Lord, please keep the police from stopping me. I've done that because I had to wait till the 15th. And that's God's grace, isn't it? Sometimes you drive at night because you can't drive. Y'all never done that before. That's after you got the big pink, bright pink, you know, rejection with the big black cross on it. You drive at night. The car healthy as a horse. But your inspection is bad. But you still need to go somewhere at night. And you take those chances. And you say a prayer. Lord God, keep me from the speed traps. In Jesus' name. Sister Weaver said, I'm telling everything. I'm going to stop. But that's getting by. It's getting by. And when God opens up that door, you're going to do the right thing and get everything up to date. But what makes you better that you have 3 or 4 cars in the driveway or you have flat screen TVs in every room? What makes you better than the person that may live in a shelter? What makes you better? Nothing makes you better. It's by the grace of God. It's by his providence. It's by his mercy. It's by his favor. Favor is not fair, but it's final. And I'm going to say this, and we see this in the scriptures. God does not give the same level of favor to everybody. I can't explain that. He's sovereign. Hey, it happens. So if you get some favor from God, praise him for that. But as you're praising him, don't look down on people that don't have what you've been blessed to have. You know, there was a movie back in 1983. Eddie Murphy was just getting into acting called Trading Places. That's a funny movie. Okay. It was neat, though. It was neat. He traded places with a bum, and this guy was making money for the corporate office, and the guy who was Ivy League educated ended up living like a vagabond. And interesting movie. Moving on. Moving on. It was by his attributes that we made it by. And this is the icing on the cake. It is by his reputation that we make it in. It is by his reputation that we made it in. So the first point is, it was by God's ability that we made it out. Two is, it was by his mighty power that we made it through. Three, it was by his authority over our enemies that we made it over. Four, it was by his attributes that we made it by. And five, and finally, it is by his reputation